Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, today I should like to talk to you about something that I think we all know instinctively, and we certainly have all experienced it, but perhaps we don't consider it very deeply, and that is what it means to be a human being. Sacred Scripture and the whole of the Jewish and Christian tradition have taught us that to be a human being means to be an integral union between body and soul. That is, we stand, in a sense, halfway between all of creation, between the angelic orders, which are purely spiritual, and pure matter of the world about us. We are a kind of bridge. But being made of body and soul means that we experience two realities that became a little disoriented after original sin. And I thought of this reality as I listened to the gospel readings in this past two Sundays and then forward into two other Sundays, which are the beautiful portions of the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, dedicated to the bread of life. And it touches upon a human reality that we experience in two dimensions, the reality of hunger and thirst. We do experience a physical hunger and thirst. In fact, if we did not, we would not be able to survive. And the experience of hunger drives us not only to our personal well-being, but it also moves us to compassion for those who suffer hunger rather than simply experience it. How often have you heard people say, "Oh, I'm simply famished, why don't we eat?" They really aren't famished. They're using that as a kind of metaphor for their experience. But there are people who are famished, whose plight should awaken our compassion. And the experience we have of hunger and thirst awaken us to the realization that our experience of hunger and thirst are necessary to remind us of our bodily nature. But they are also there to prepare our bodily nature and to free ourselves to attend to another hunger and thirst that we have as human beings. And that is a hunger for spiritual reality, a hunger to know what is true and good, a hunger that is psychological and emotional. And these hungers and thirsts can be as real and as penetrating as our physical hunger and thirst. Don't we hunger for meaning, for love, for community, for knowing our purpose in this world? And don't we hear the words of Jesus in their powerful truth? Not by bread alone does man live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the Gospels capture that reality of our human existence, of our being that integral union of body and soul, so beautifully, especially in the preaching and in the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows very well the physical reality of our humanity. And he knows very deeply the reality of our spiritual being. And that is why when I think of how the parts of chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel are now being read out at Sunday Mass, I think how they touch that dual experience of our human reality. Now, it is unusual to hear from the Gospel of John this year because in the cycle of our Gospel readings, this year is by and large dedicated to the Gospel of St. Mark. But St. Mark, being the shortest of the Gospels, does not fill up all of the Sundays that we have of ordinary time. So at a particular point, the Church has chosen to read the sixth chapter of John not simply as a filler for the fact that we don't want to run out of Gospel readings this year, but because that Gospel of John in that sixth chapter illustrates the meaning of a miracle story that occurs in all four Gospels. And that is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Given the reality that all four Gospels record this miracle, must mean that it had a very profound meaning for the early Christian Church. It must be teaching a lesson that is essential to our Christian life. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, as a prelude to the description of this miracle, the evangelist tells us that Jesus looked out over the crowd that had been following him, and he was moved to pity because it looked like a flock that had no shepherd. And Mark tells us he instructed the group of people to sit around him. And St. Mark's Gospel tells us he taught them many things. And then Mark describes the feeding of the 5,000. What is interesting is that Mark does not mention anything of what Jesus taught them. But it's interesting that Jesus began to feed a hunger that was spiritual before he fed the hunger that was physical. Now, it is at this point when the Gospel of Mark says that Jesus taught them many things that the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John is inserted. And whereas in Mark Jesus teaches before the feeding of the 5,000, in the Gospel of John, Jesus teaches after the feeding of the 5,000. And in a sense, what the Church is saying is, this is the many things that Jesus taught them. And Jesus then, having fed the 5,000, and having realized that they had misinterpreted the meaning of the feeding of the 5,000, he withdrew from them, went up into the mountain there to pray, but the people followed him. And he began to teach them about the spiritual and emotional hunger that they also have. And he revealed himself as the bread of life. For as he said, you know, Moses and the Israelites in the desert ate manna from heaven, but yet they died. And I want to tell you about a manna from heaven, a bread from heaven, that you will eat, and it will allow you to live forever. And I am that bread of life. And it's interesting that Jesus, in talking about that deep spiritual hunger that we all have as human persons, he relates it very well to a physical reality. the reality of bread, a staple of life. And he uses the feeding of the 5,000 that satiated their physical hunger to tell them about how, in fact, they can receive that bread of life, which is Jesus himself. And in so doing, doesn't he really touch upon that fundamental aspect of our human being, and that is that we are both body and soul? What happens in our body is going to affect the character of our soul, and what happens within our soul is going to affect our body. And therefore, there is a relationship between physical hunger and spiritual hunger. But we ask the question, which comes first? To what should we attend as a priority, and not neglecting either? So Jesus tells us about the bread of life, and in fact, as he speaks, the crowd begins to murmur because of what later were called hard words. He said, "I am the bread of life, and unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will not have life within me." And of course, many people were rather astounded by this. And we are told, frankly, in the 6th chapter of John, that there are many who had followed him who left him. And Jesus turns to the 12 apostles, and he said, "Are you too going to leave?" And Peter, speaking for the 12 apostles, says, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of everlasting life." We may not understand fully or completely what you are saying, but we know that what you are saying is for our good and for our salvation. Now, we know that, in a sense, our physical hunger and thirst is a kind of doorway to understanding our spiritual hunger and thirst. And I think that touches very much upon how, in fact, we follow the command of Jesus to feast on his body and blood when we remember how beautifully he gave us the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. The sacrament is both a physical reality and a spiritual reality, both necessary to our well-being and our future. Isn't that why we surround so often our physical eating with particular rituals and forms, so that a meal becomes more than simply sating our hunger, slaking our thirst? It becomes a moment as well of communal life, of sharing with others. The English wag Oscar Wilde once said that eating without good conversation is mere stoking. By the very fact that we are together and sharing a meal that does satiate our hunger and thirst, we are creating a community around that act. And this is why at the heart of the life of the church lies the Holy Eucharist, the Mass, that very participation in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It touches upon our physical being, because after all, one of the great acts of the profession of faith is that of the resurrection of the dead, that even in the glory of the resurrection, we shall be fully human, body and soul, but now in a glorified form. And the Eucharist is given to us both to touch that physical reality and that deeply spiritual hunger and thirst that we have. That is why communion is often called the remedy for mortality. It is the medicine that allows us to conquer even our natural death. And in that powerful teaching of our Lord in chapter 6, we are reminded both of the power of the gift, of our authentic humanity, of how that humanity is taken up into the reality of the divine, how the sacraments are the way by which we do this. But it leaves us with a very simple question, but has very profound meaning. Do we live to eat, or do we eat to live? What comes first? That spiritual hunger that our Lord has come to relieve us of, or simply a physical reality that will pass with the death of our physical bodies? And when we satisfy our spiritual hunger, how much more beautiful in reality our physical hunger will be satisfied as well.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.